views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Coming to you live from the WGBB studios in West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240. Andrew Joseph here with you, going strong until 10 o'clock on this Sunday, October 12th evening. I'm 3 days behind, apparently, Brian. Brian Gray is on the other side of the glass. He's engineering, as always. The phone number to get involved with the program tonight is 631-888-8811. As usual, a lot to get through tonight. A lot going on in sports right now. The Giants trail the Eagles 10-0 on Sunday Night Football. For the Giants and Eagles, a big game. Obviously, a lot of trash talk back and forth banter throughout the week from both teams as they finally get to battle it out on the field. Eagles, like I said, up 10-0 early. A lot of game to go on Sunday Night Football, though, between the Giants and Eagles in a very big divisional rivalry in what has become a really, really tight and really competitive NFC East. Obviously, coming into the season, the Eagles were the favorites. There weren't high expectations of the Cowboys. The Giants, it was mixed, especially after a poor preseason. People really questioned if Eli and the offense can get it going. And after an 0-2 start, those questions only became louder. But the Giants have really rebounded the last 3 weeks. Right now, like I said, they trail the Eagles in the first half 10-0 on Sunday Night Football. I will be joined by Kevin Delury of the NYR blog at 9:15 as we will chat about the New York Rangers, who right now trail 6-2 in second intermission in their home opener. So, shaky start for the Rangers. They won their season opener over St. Louis, and now they fell to Columbus last night, and they trail 6-2 at intermission, going to the third period tonight at the Garden in their home opener against the Toronto Maple Leafs. At 9:30, I will be joined by RantSports.com's New York Jets writer Luis Torrado Jr. I will keep you throughout the program. I'll keep you updated on the Rangers game, which seems it would take a miraculous comeback to win that one, and the Giants-Eagles game. Also, once in a while, when I get a chance, throw in the score in the baseball game because the NLCS game two is also in action right now. But I want to start with something that you're not going to hear from me very often. I'm going to make a declaration of sorts that, and I'm not one for declarations. I'm really not emphatic about most things involving sports. Because sports is so hard to predict, so hard to know what's going to happen. And right now, for my declaration, the timing for it is awful. It's just the worst time you could possibly have as the New York Rangers trail 6-2 at their home opener at Madison Square Garden. Having said that, though, what the Rangers have in front of them here is an opportunity, a chance to take over this town, New York, New York City, its surrounding areas, New Jersey, Connecticut. They have a chance to take it all over, make this town theirs. And after going on a run all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, falling 3 games shy this past season, the Rangers are ready to gain those 3 extra wins that they need. And they have one of these, they have a unique chance here to take over this town because the Yankees have missed the playoffs two straight years and counting. The Jets are the Jets. The Mets are the Mets. The Knicks are in a year of transition. The Giants are, in my humble opinion, the Giants are a good team. They're not great. And they don't have a realistic chance of winning the NBA. Of winning the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals. And when it comes to the Devils, the Nets, and the Islanders, I don't even think there's much to say because they're not even the number one team in their respective sports in this town, in this city. And the New York Rangers are hands down right now the best pro sports team in New York, despite losing 6-2 in their home opener at the Garden right now. Henrik Lundqvist is prepared to take over for Derek Jeter's New York's adopted son. Like I said, they have by far the most realistic chance of winning a championship in 2015. And they bring back the majority of the team, the core of the team, with a few additions and a few subtractions, which we'll get into with Kevin DeLoria of the NYR blog in a few minutes, as my internet has stopped working. So I'm gonna have a difficult time updating, keeping you updated on the scores right now, as the last I've seen, the Eagles are up 10-0 on the Giants with 3:56 to go in the first quarter, and the Rangers are down 6-2 at in second intermission at Madison Square Garden. But before we talk to Kevin, there's a few notes that I want to talk about, talking points I want to get to regarding the New York Rangers, the team that I have just declared is going to take over this town in this coming season. And one thing is, right now they have been hit by injuries. They have Derek Stepan's out. He'll be out the first 10 games or so. In their season opening win against St. Louis, they lost Dan Boyle, their free agent, the free agent pickup to quarterback the power play and to play on the other side of Mark Stahl as a number two defensive pair. And so he's out 4 to 6 weeks. So the Rangers are going to struggle to start. I mean, it's not going to be – they're not going to come out of the gate here, and they clearly haven't, and they especially not tonight, and winning all these games. But, you know, without Boyle, they're losing their quarterback of the power play, their fourth best defenseman, and without Stepan, they're losing their number one center, their power play center, their penalty – one of their best penalty-killing forwards. And it's a trickle-down effect because – right now you have Martin St. Louis playing center for the first time of his career, and he's playing it pretty well. Struggling on faceoffs. Tonight I saw he got kicked out of the faceoff circle, I think, 3 or 4 times, which is very odd. You really don't see that in hockey very often. Same player getting kicked out 3 or 4 times in a game. And this, I think, it happened all in the first period, if I am correct. And but, you know, look, it's a trickle-down effect, like I was saying. And right now, you're asking guys like St. Louis to do something he has never done in his long Hall of Fame career. And it's a trickle-down effect to the second line. Derek Brassard's off to a slow start. It's only been 2.5 games right now. But he's off to a slow start. Right now, he's being asked to play second-line center. And not to say that he's going to be asked to play that all season long, except that you're taking away one of the Rangers' top players, one of their top forwards. And it's right now the Rangers have to find a way to keep their heads above water until they get Stepan back, and then when they get Boyle back, and the Rangers will make their run. Right now they're relying on some young players and Anthony Duclair, the 19-year-old who, if you're a Rangers fan, you have to be so excited about Anthony Duclair. This guy looks like he's the real deal. Then there's Hayes, who was a former first-round pick that decided to decline a contract and go to Boston College, where he played for 4 years and became a free agent, a rookie free agent this offseason, and the Rangers picked him up. Glenn Sather with a really nice pickup there, as he was getting his first action of his career tonight. First regular season action, that is, for the New York Rangers. And, you know, like I said, we'll have Kevin DeLoria of the NYR blog at 9:15, so just in a matter of minutes. And, for the Rangers, they have, in my opinion, all the assets, the skills, everything, the tools that you need to go on a long Stanley Cup run. They have the depth, and they have the skill. They certainly have the skill. Speaking of skill, Rick Nash scored tonight. He now has 4 goals on the season already in 2+ games. So that's a really good sign. He came to camp in better shape. And Nash has been nasty to start the season, or so to speak. And if you're a Rangers fan, you should be very happy about that. Definitely some concerns with the defense right now. Lundqvist didn't look so good tonight. Talbot didn't look very good last night. They're looking at their second straight loss right now. So definitely some reasons to be concerned. But overall, I think you got to ignore the fact that they've gotten off to this rough start and then getting blown out tonight in their home opener. And you have to understand that this is a team that has some injuries right now, but more importantly, they are a team with a lot of talent, and they have a great combination of veteran leadership with whether it's St. Louis or Nash, and youth with Duclair, Hayes, JT Miller, Jesper Fast. McDonough's still young. He's captain, but he's still a really young player that's just ready to break out, as is Chris Kreider. Kreider by far looked so much better last year than he did the year before. And I look at Chris Kreider as a guy that is ready to break out and really, really take over for the New York Rangers defense. And Ryan McDonough had a great year last year. I expect even more from him this year. And it's going to be a fun season. I know right now, if you're a Rangers fan, you're probably down right now about the way they're playing tonight and the way they played last night. They're going to be 1-2 on the season. But take a step back, realize they have injuries. This team, just like last year, will get better as the year goes on. Come December, come January, when the Jets are irrelevant and out of it, but just good enough to not allow themselves to have a top pick in the draft. And the Giants are a mediocre team. The Rangers and the Knicks are in a year of transition. The Nets are the Nets. I mean, they're a good team, but when you look at the Nets, do they actually have a realistic chance of winning the NBA Finals? They don't. I mean, more of a chance than the Knicks? Probably right now. But when you look at the NBA, the landscape of the NBA, it's not really open for many teams to go in there and take an NBA Finals, an NBA Championship. There's the Cavs with LeBron in the East, and maybe the Chicago Bulls. And in the West, there's a few teams, but the Nets are not one of these teams that, when you want to name a few teams that can realistically contend for an NBA Championship, the Nets are not there. The Islanders, in their case, they look like a better team, a much improved team, adding a couple of key defensemen, including Boychuk, who's been outstanding to start the season in two games. But they're not staring down a Stanley Cup Finals run. They're just hoping to knock on the door and contend for a playoff, to make the playoffs in the NHL. So this is a chance for the Rangers, something they haven't had in a long time. Back when they made the run in 94, they had to share it with the Knicks, who were also making a run into the finals, which they lost. This is different. The Yankees haven't made the playoffs in 2 years. The Mets are the Mets. And the Jets, I think that's the perfect way to say it. The Jets are the Jets and the Mets are the Mets. And the Giants are just not a great team. They're a good team, but not great. And this is a chance for the Rangers to take over this town. All right, I'm going to go to break real quickly. And Anthony Pico has a message for you. Then Kevin of the NYR blog will join the program. Andrew Joseph with you till 10, Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB.
Have you ever wondered about the validity of astrology? I know the columns in the magazines and the newspapers are all kind of silly, but there's much, much more to astrology than that. A good astrology reading can help you understand yourself better, maximize your potential, and hopefully teach you to lead a more productive and happier life. My name is Anthony Pico, and I am a certified professional astrologer with 28 years of experience. And if you'd like to contact me for a professional reading, or simply have some questions you'd like answered before you go any further, you can get my email at my blog, cosmictuesdays.com. You know, there's a reason astrology has been around for 5,000 years. It works.
All right, welcome back to the program, Sports Talk 1240. Andrew Joseph with you, Brian Graves on the other side of the glass. We're going to go to the phones right now two guests of the night, Kevin DeLory of the NYR blog. Kevin, thanks for joining the program.
Andrew, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm good, Kevin. Well, outside of the Rangers debacle at the Garden right now. How are you?
Yeah, it's a complete tire fire on Madison Square Garden ice tonight. It's a rough one. You thought they'd come out a little hungry for the home opener, especially after a tough night in Columbus last night. But it looks like more of the same right now.
Now, Kevin, I was saying I had really bad timing for this, but I came on the air in my opening monologue with a declaration of sorts, basically declaring that the Rangers are ready to take over this town, that it seems like there's either mediocre teams or bad teams right now in New York, and the Rangers are the team that's ready to take the town over. Not looking so good right now, but taking tonight and last night out of the equation, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely there for them to take it, and like you said, sort of putting aside the last two games. I mean, you have a lot of mediocre play right now from the other New York teams. You know, the Yankees seem, you know, obviously they had a down year this year. I'm assuming they'll restock over the winter and address whatever they need to. The Mets are a disaster anyway you look at it. The Jets are in the same category as the Jets. And listen, the Giants are the only team that could sort of the only other team that could have salvaged things right now. The Rangers have it. It's there for the taking. You wonder, how popular hockey, can be in New York, especially non-playoff time. I mean, they were able to sort of galvanize New York City in 94, but, you know, again, that was more during the playoff run when any city sort of gets behind the team making a playoff run. So, you know, hockey is it doesn't have a traditionally big following in New York during the regular season. I mean, in any town, hockey is more of like a, I hate to say it, like a cult following almost. So even if they do well, I don't know if they'll necessarily be able to take over the town. I mean, sports radio is still going to follow, baseball all during the offseason. They're going to be all over football no matter how bad the Jets may be or how bad the Giants are going to be. They're still going to lead with how bad the Jets and Giants are. Hockey is going to take a back seat. It's just the way it is in this town. This town is baseball. It's football. They may get a little bit if they're in first place, they may get a little bit of talk on the sports radio. But I even if they do well, I'm not necessarily sure they could take over the town.
Well, I mean, I completely agree with your points that it's definitely a baseball and football town first. Kevin, members of the media, fans, and I know you in particular have been really hard on Rick Nash. And, just like I'm going to say, take out of the equation what's happened these last two games. I'm going to take out of the equation what Nash has done so far. He scored four goals in here, two-plus games. But take that out of the equation. How do you see Rick Nash playing this season?
Yeah, listen, the guy was brought here to score goals. Before he came in, the problem with the Rangers were they weren't able to score. You bring him in expecting him to score. So as long as he's scoring goals, which he is right now, I'm more than happy with the way he's playing. I mean, he's coming to camp this year in shape. He's quicker, faster, health-wise. I think he's the healthiest he's been since he's been with the Rangers. Obviously, he's had a couple of concussions, which, when you look back at things, I mean, you have to assume the concussions have been, the real reason behind a lot of his struggles. He said, he wasn't feeling right 100% last year. I've never had a concussion, but I've talked to people who have. Even months and months, after the fact, you're still, not all there. And I'm assuming that, you're a little leery about going into the dirty areas as you're worried. When you have multiple concussions, even a slight hit can bring on another one. So, he seems healthier this year. Like I mentioned, he's in better shape. So I'm expecting a big year from him. Ultimately, though, he's going to be judged by what he does in the postseason. He can have a tremendous year this year, put up 35 goals and help the team get into playoffs. But if he has a repeat of last season where he couldn't buy a goal in the playoffs, I mean, the fans, I'm sorry to say, are still going to get on this guy. New York is about championships. It's not about getting in the playoffs. It's about championships. And, we talked before about the other sport teams. the Yankees have sort of, you know, set the bar as, you know, championships are bust. So, you know, he's got to prove that he could do it in the postseason. And I think once he does that, he'll firmly have the fans back on his side.
Okay. Kevin, St. Louis at center with Stepan out. I touched on it briefly. Talk about the impact that this has on the entire team, not just that top line.
Yeah, I mean, it really affects, you know, the entire team. I mean, not only do you lose your number one center and Stepan going down with injury, by moving St. Louis into the middle, you actually lose probably your best winger now. You know, St. Louis is doing a solid job at center. He's a veteran. He's a smart player. He's been making plays to Rick Nash. He saw a great pass tonight to spring a goal for Rick Nash. So, you know, while I have no problems, you know, in that, you know, St. Louis can get the job done at center, he's just not as effective as he would be on the wing. So that hurts the team overall. I mean, you know, unfortunately, these last two games, while it's tough to watch and you're a little concerned, listen, they're banged up right now. I mean, you have the number one center out. You lost Zuccarello, who's not playing tonight. You have Dan Boyle, who was brought in to help with the power play. He's a top four defenseman. There's a lot of rookies in the lineup. It's not going to look pretty for the first month. These guys are going to learn to play with each other. They've got to, you know, build some chemistry. So, you know, I'm not real worried with the way things are going right now. There's going to be a lot of mixing and matching. You know, whether St. Louis will stay at center or Vigneault thinks the team ultimately is better with him on the wing. You saw Kevin Hayes get in there today. He's playing center, the young kid. So, you know, maybe if Alain Vigneault feels confident with him at center, maybe he'll move St. Louis to the wing, because I think the Rangers are obviously better with St. Louis on the wing, because that's his natural position. He is better at the wing than at center. Listen, he stepped up with Stepan going down, and that's great, but ultimately he's better on the wing, and the Rangers are better with him on the wing.
Kevin, you mentioned Dan Boyle's injury, and how do you think, or how do you predict that the Rangers are going to react to it? Are they going to just stay with guys like Hunwick and Koska, or are they going to go out and make a trade?
Well, if the defense continues to play the way they've done the last two games, I think Seider has no choice, but he's going to have to go out and maybe look for some help. The problem is there's not much out there. You know, who are you bringing in? Unless Seider can pull off a trade, you know, I don't know who he'd be able to bring in. Plus, Boyle is only going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. It's not like he's out, you know, 2 to 3 months, something along those lines. So, you know, if you're going to bring someone in, it's just sort of to fill in the gap for a couple of weeks here until Boyle gets back. So, you know, there's a couple of guys out there. There's a Sammy Sallow who's older, but he had a pretty decent year last year. He has some history with Vigneault from their Canuck days together. So, you know, there are a couple of guys who could definitely, you know, fill in for a couple of weeks with Boyle out. But, you know, I'd like to see them give Hunwick or Koska a chance here. Maybe, hey, listen, maybe they end up calling up a Dylan McIlrath if they get real, you know, if nothing else is sort of working for them. So, but, yeah, it's looked ugly the last two games. So I'm sure Seider's working the phones right now.
Kevin, there's a few plays I want your opinion on, and I'm going to start with Anthony Duclair, the 19-year-old rookie. Kevin?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What are your impressions of Anthony Duclair?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think he's looked tremendous. I mean, he looks like, you know, the moment isn't too big for him. You know, he has really good hockey instincts from what I'm seeing from him. Especially for a 19-year-old. I mean, he's out there. He's doing his thing. He's got NHL caliber skill. His speed. He's one of the fastest guys on the team as a 19-year-old. You're always taking a risk keeping a 19-year-old on the roster for an entire year. But you know, up until this point, you know, he's given management a lot to think about. Again, these last two games, it hasn't been pretty, and he's been one of the few bright spots of this team. So if he can keep this up for the next, you know, week or so, I don't think management has any choice but to keep him around. But he's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, nobody really expected him to make this team out of camp, but he's forced management's hand here. And, you know, if other players aren't going to be stepping up, and if injury is going to going to continue to happen to this team, he's going to stick around. And if he does, I have confidence in him. Again, it's only been three games and a preseason, but, you know, he's shown me a lot. You know, he's shown some toughness out there. He's been pretty good defensively as well. So I love what I've seen from him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next, what you thought of his defense so far. Because I wasn't able to watch tonight's game, but I was listening to the radio broadcast, and they mentioned Duclair kind of was – they saw him kind of out of position a couple of times. But overall, the two other games, I thought he was very good defensively.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a young kid. He's going to miss some defensive assignments. Hey, listen, he's missed some guys, sort of gotten backdoored on a couple of plays there. He'll learn. But again, his instincts for the game when he's coming, you know, backing off into the zone, he has his man. He's got a nose for the puck. You know, he's been in the neutral zone. He's actually been very good stealing pucks, bringing himself for a breakaway or stealing pucks, setting his teammates up. So, you know, he's been good. Listen, he's going to make some mistakes in the defensive end. They all do. But I have confidence that he's on the team for his offense. He's going to stay up because he can score, because he can make plays, and they'll deal and work with him on his defense, which will be a work in progress throughout the season.
All right, Kevin. JT Miller, Chris Kreider, what are your expectations of them going into the season?
Chris Kreider, he needs to be one of the best players on the team this year, and I think he can. I mean, the other night he was a complete beast. You know, his athleticism, you know, is second to none. You see the YouTube videos of him jumping out of the pool, out of an in-ground pool. I mean, the kid is you know, an Adonis out there. He's got, as far as scoring goes, he's got to be more consistent. Last year he was streaky. He'd go through, you know, streaks where he would score, but then you wouldn't hear from him for a while. So he really needs to break out this year. For the Rangers to be successful, he has to use that power game, that physical game, to dominate the other team's defense. Bull rush to the net. When he's going to the net and driving to the net, that's when he's on. As far as JT Miller, listen, he's a young kid. He's going to make mistakes. He's been hot and cold so far for the first couple of games. He's missed a couple of defensive assignments this year. And I know you said you didn't watch the game tonight. He was open in the slot on the power play, fanned on the shot. Toronto came down and scored. So he's been hot and cold so far this early season, but he's so young still. He's still learning. It's going to, like I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress for the first couple of months as all these rookies sort of get their feet wet. You got some guys like St. Louis playing out of position, and obviously you have the injury. So I think if the Rangers can tread water here, for the first month and a half, until these injured guys can get back, I think they'll be in good position.
Okay, Kevin, last question before we let you go. Ryan McDonough, is he a legitimate Norris candidate this season?
The last two games he hasn't looked like one.
No, he hasn't.
but, yeah, I mean, he is really turning into the complete package. You know, he came up, he was, you know, obviously a great defender. But what's going to take him to that next level or put him in the conversation for Norris Trophy is adding some offense to the game. And you saw that a little bit of that last year where he got some time on the power play and he was successful. And in the game in Columbus last night, in the first period, he had an end-to-end rush that looked leech-like. He didn't score, but he's really worked on his offense and brought that element to his game. And if he can find himself scoring, you know, 9, 10, 11 goals a season, if he could do that this year and get his point total up, they'll have no – listen, there's some great defensemen out there, but, you know, he'll force his way into that conversation.
All right, Kevin, thank you for joining us on the program and giving us a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
You're welcome. So that was Kevin Deloria of the NYR blog. Right now the Rangers are at the Garden like I said, my internet's not working very well, so I can't tell you for sure if it's gone final, but if it hasn't, it will go final shortly as the Rangers are staring down a 1-2 start on the season. We're going to take a quick break here on Sports Talk 1240, but first, I want to tell you about Carey's Pharmacy. Your health is important. Therefore, you deserve a pharmacy that cares. Carey's Pharmacy delivers what the large drugstore chains and mail order services cannot. personal attention, expert service, detailed knowledge, and customer relationships that extend beyond the sale. Carrie's old-fashioned values are refreshing. You will have access to meaningful one-on-one counseling and your pharmacist's undivided attention. They will work with you to address all your questions about prescriptions, over-the-counter remedies, and health care needs. You can reach him via email on egranic1@yahoo.com or by phone at 914-693-008. And when you call, tell them that Andrew from Sports Talk 1240 sent you. We will take a quick break.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Welcome back to the program. Andrew Joseph with you till 10 on Sports Talk 1240 and WGBB here in West Babylon, New York. So the Giants trail the Eagles 17-0 on Sunday Night Football right now. We will have Luis Torrado Jr. of RantSports.com on the phone with us. He's actually has a new gig also as co-editor of G-Men HQ of Fanside, of the Fansided Network. Luis, welcome to the program.
Hey, Andrew. How's it going?
It's good. Thank you for giving us a few minutes, Luis.
Thank you.
So, Luis, this Jet team. Now, before I get into what happened today, because I thought they played a very good game today, I was actually really impressed. I thought the defense played well. Geno didn't make a mistake until the end of the game. But last week, I wasn't on the air since the debacle against the Chargers, and I certainly haven't been able to talk to you since the debacle. What were your impressions of that game against the Chargers? I mean, everything that could have went wrong seemed like it did. Rex even talked about how his personnel decisions to bring in more defensive backs and less linebackers even backfired. What were your impressions of the San Diego Charger game?
Well, that game to me was a pure meltdown. Like, everything that could go wrong, like you said, absolutely went wrong. It was a debacle. It was one of those games that everybody should just wipe out of their memory, because nothing worked. And it seriously questioned whether or not, you know, Geno Smith would have a future as a starter for the season. But the biggest angle from that was how Rex Ryan said that he will stick with him this week. And while he did improve, at the end of the day, it's still a loss. And it's I think this particular loss is just happening against the Broncos. It's actually worse than the Chargers loss.
Luis, when before the game and during the game, it wasn't the fact that Geno missed that meeting the night before on that Saturday night before the Chargers game. It wasn't made public until the next day. And that morning, as soon as I found out, and I was working an overnight shift, so I found out really early, going into that Monday morning. And it just, the first thing I thought about, Luis, was how could Rex Ryan play Geno Smith after he didn't even make a meeting? And then I really thought about it, and then there was one obvious reason, in my opinion, of why Geno was starting. And it's because it's not Rex Ryan's decision. It's John Idzik, the general manager. What do you think about that?
I agree. John Idzik prides himself on draft picks, and he prides himself on proving the other guy wrong because he thinks that he's, like, a genius when it comes to, like, talent and drafting and all that stuff. I know if it were Bill Parcells, Smith would not have played in that game. I think that it's a trickle-down effect. If I'm a head coach and the main leader of the offense and arguably one of the main captains of the team misses a meeting, you got to hold them accountable. And it could also be that maybe, like, it was exposed. Maybe they did that because they knew that Michael Vick is not the answer. And he played as worse, if not, like, nowhere near a backup. Like, I've seen other backups on the teams that play a lot better that are unknown, and Vick does not have what he used to have.
Yeah.
So it's terrible.
Yeah, Luis, he comes out and says that he came out and said a couple days later that he wasn't even prepared to play. He didn't practice hard. He didn't take it seriously, basically, essentially saying that he didn't want to play. And the way he played, it looked like he was disinterested. But quickly, you know, let's transition into today's game because the Jets, you know, give the defense credit. In my opinion, they hung with the Broncos, who are, if not the best team in the league, they're among the best teams in the league. And I was really impressed by the defense. And Geno didn't make a mistake until, obviously, on that last possession, the pick six to Tlaib. What did you think about today's game, though? What were your reactions and impressions of the way the Jets played?
Totally agree with you, Andrew. I know that the defense absolutely lived up and exceeded the expectations that I thought was going to happen against this game. I honestly thought the Broncos were going to route the Jets and they were going to, like, just, you know, play with them the whole game and just do what they want with them. But the fact that the defense did get their sacks, they did kind of, you know, prevent Manning from doing as much damage as he could have done. But the biggest problem that I saw was the fact that where is this running game? The leading rusher of today's game was Geno Smith, 11 yards. Like, if you fathom and you process that and you say to yourself, how is it that a team that's built to run the football, they bragged about the whole offseason about how they were going to be one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. They brought Chris Johnson, Chris Ivory's doing really good, Bilal Powell was doing good last year, and now nobody seems to know how to run the football. And then you look at the offensive line, it's like they got bullied in the trenches. I don't know if you saw, like, how they got manhandled. Like, they could not open blocks, open lanes, nothing. That to me is the biggest problem, because Smith did good, but that running game is non-existent.
Yeah, Luis, I mean, and the offensive line was really good the first couple of weeks of the season, and all of a sudden the last 2 weeks they've been, like you said, manhandled here as they are just getting dominated, and it looks really bad. But, you know, Luis, going forward here, they're 1-5, they have a quick turnaround playing the Patriots now on Thursday night. Tom Brady looks like he has it, he's found his game. I think he threw for around 360 yards with 4 touchdowns today. Give or take a few yards here or there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have such a hard time seeing the Jets beating the Patriots. So what are your expectations for Thursday night?
Well, it's really a 50-50 chance. The Jets have been known in the past that they'll come into a game like this and they actually could surprise and they could beat the Patriots. I personally don't think it's going to happen. I think the Patriots are going to do just what the Broncos did. It'll be kind of even in the beginning, but you know how Tom Brady gets once he gets into the red zone. You know how he gets 2-minute drills and all that stuff. I definitely see the Patriots coming through, and they're going to just mud stomp the Jets. However, there is that 50% chance that they're going to be playing so angry that they could have beat the Broncos. And they were in it for the most part, but they really got to switch the whole tempo, and they got to switch the game plan to run the football more. If they did that against the Patriots, and if Geno Smith can replicate what he did today in that game, they can actually leave Foxborough victorious.
Interesting. Luis, I have to tell you, I'd be absolutely shocked if the Jets win this game on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I mean, I really would be. I understand what you're saying, and they they during the Rex Ryan era, they have generally, with the exception of that Buffalo game and maybe another game or two, for the most part, they play the Patriots really tough. Even the games the Patriots have won, they've been close games, hard-fought games. But, Luis, I do expect them to keep it close, but I have a really hard time expecting them to win. But let's go. For them to win, for the Jets to actually pull off this upset on Thursday night, what absolutely needs to happen?
Well, it's three things. They got to run the football. That's what they're built to do. That's what they actually are. They can win games, and they just stick to running the football. What Mornerwin fails to do is that when he sees that Chris Johnson can't get any yards or Chris Ivory gets kind of contained, he'll rely more on passing, and that's what kills the Jets. They're not a passing team. They don't have the receivers to support anything that can remotely resemble any of the better offenses that are in the NFL. They don't have any of the receivers. James Amara had a really good game, but at the end of the day, like, he's a tight end. He's not a receiver. You need receivers to do good. If they can run the football against the Patriots, and if by some miracle that offensive line can hold up and help protect Geno, he can deliver to Decker, and he can deliver to Curley and all the people that are playing, it could be a stunning upset. I can see it. And the last thing is they got to do better game planning. They have to be able to come up with a better offensive system that runs the football, you know, sets up the play action, and just use that. It worked. Look at the drive when they scored to Amaru. That's how you do it. That's how you're going to beat the Patriots.
Okay, Luis, here's a question I have to work off, to basically counter what you just said. So the Jets, they go on that drive, they throw the fade to Jason Morrow, the jump ball, whatever you want to call it, for the touchdown. A nice throw by Geno, a nice play by Amaro. But do the Jets have enough talent, enough versatility to mix it up in the playbook? You're talking about, you know, you got to design a game plan that's better. But do the Jets have the talent and the versatility on this team, and the depth, for that matter, to pull off something like that? Because to me, it seems like the Jets may be able to, you know, game plan enough for a drive or two, or maybe even three or four drives. But the defenses will adjust, and it's hard for the Jets to counter the defense's adjustment because of their lack of talent and depth.
Yeah, like, if you look at it's no secret. Everybody knows that the Jets' defensive secondary is a joke. Like, it's amazing that Manning didn't throw for like 800 yards today or 10 touchdowns because it looked bad, but they held their own. The Jets defense, I'm not worried about. I really think that they can control Brady. I think that they can stop, like, anything too crazy, but it all depends on the offense. It won't do anything. The defense is exhausted because the offense is punting too much. They're not controlling the game clock. They're not running the football. They're not creating the tempo to succeed. You don't have to score like 20 touchdowns in a game to win. You just got to play smart football. You got to eat the clock. You got to run the football, and you just got to put points on the board. Even if they scored 5 field goals, they could win because you eat up so much game clock, it'll limit what Brady can do with extra time. That's all you got to do. That's one of the secrets to being the Patriots: run the football.
It's easier said than done, Luis. Though, I mean, you saw the Jets. You said about the offensive line, they're getting manhandled today. They could not run the ball. And there's something that bothers me, and I want to get your opinion. Maybe you agree with it. I know you've written some articles on the quarterback situation for RantSports.com, but on Twitter during this game, everybody's blaming Geno Smith. Geno sucks. You know, gotta put Vic in. But to me, this Geno's doing everything that you could ask for. He's managing the game. It's hard to manage the game when you don't have a running game. They weren't running the ball, and they were asking him to not make a mistake, play a safe. Their game plan was clearly a safe, you know, designed to for Geno to manage the game. So everyone's blaming Geno, but my point is, yeah, did Geno play great? No, but if the Jets were able to run the football, like you were saying, is the key. They would have been able to possibly even win this game today.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think these fans, they should stop saying fire, you know, Ben Smith. They should fire Mornerwin. That's where it boils out to. Geno Smith actually played a good game today. The only problem is that the game calling was terrible. The play calling was atrocious because they dumped, you know, the core of this offense of running the football to just passing. These little slant plays and these little screen plays, I've been seeing this team do this for years. If I can see it, imagine what an NFL defensive coordinator can see. So it doesn't work. What they got to do is, if they want Smith to do good, and Vic is not the answer, and I've written, like you said, on RantSports.com of how he is not the answer, they need to stick with Smith and just run the football. That's all they got to do. They got three of arguably one of the better, trios of running backs. Yes, I know Chris Johnson doesn't look like he used to, but he's shown sparks of being able to, kind of rekindle the magic he once had. And Chris Ivory is probably the best running back out of the three. He needs to get the ball more. Throw to him, run with him, do what you got. Let him be able to be like that X factor in the game. But because they rely on passing and they hope that Eric Decker can replicate what he did with Manning, which will never happen with Smith, they think that's going to work. And it's not. These fans should be chanting, get Mournaway out. If we can swap with another backup offensive coordinator or something, that's what they got to do. It ain't going to matter what Smith. You can have Vic in there and he'll actually be worse rather than just running the football.
Luis, one last question for you. Rex Ryan, it seems as if all the signs, including their record and poor play and lack of discipline, are pointing to him being shown the door this offseason. He, when asked about it, said, yeah, right now it looks like I'm going to be fired if we don't play better. Your gut feeling, Rex Ryan, is he the coach of the Jets next season?
If they keep losing. And if he gets, really out of hand and he goes into a downward spiral, there's not a doubt in my mind that he's gone. I think that Idzik will probably still be kept because I know Johnson believes, the owner, Woody Johnson, believes that Idzik can be very instrumental in the future success of the franchise, but Rex Ryan is going to be gone. It's going to be one of those things where, unfortunately, they dubbed that they didn't set him up, but they really did set him up. It's one of those things where this is beyond Rex Ryan. He is a defensive mastermind. Nobody can take that away from him. He does have a Super Bowl ring, that amazing Baltimore Ravens defense. You remember back in the day when they had all the young Ed Reeds and Ray Lewis. That was all Rex Ryan. One of the greatest defenses I've ever seen in my 32 years of life was that Baltimore Ravens defense because of Rex Ryan. He is not a head coach. That's the truth of the matter. Head coaches are able to differentiate and have a balance of defense and offense. Rex Ryan knows absolutely nothing about offense. He doesn't know it. It's not a knock on him. It's just one of those things where the better coaches know how to distribute the ball evenly and get better talent around them, both on the field and through coaching, to get more results. Ryan is one-dimensional. So, yeah, the defense is great, but how far is it going to get you when you're playing better teams that will consistently score touchdowns? Like, when I saw that Jason Morrow touchdown, I was floored. I haven't seen a Jets touchdown in weeks. And that's a problem. If they want to do the right thing, they A, need to get receivers. They B, need to get rid of Rex Ryan. And C, they need to get a coach that will actually be a breath of fresh air, have someone that's going to come in new, and that will know, hey, I know what to do on offense, I know what to do on defense, and if he knows special teams, you got to get that man to sign immediately so he can come in and just get it done.
All right, thank you, Luis, for giving us your time here on Sports Talk 1240.
I truly appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity, Andrew.
Oh, you're welcome, Luis. So right now, the Eagles are giving the Giants a little beatdown on Sunday Night Football. They lead the Giants 20-0 with under 2 minutes to go in the first half. So things not looking good right now for the Giants. All the trash talk back and forth between the two teams all week, and right now it's not looking so good for the Giants as they are losing the real battle on the field. The number, of course, for the program, 631-888-8811. I'm gonna open up to the phones right now, but first I wanna take this time to tell you about Challenger 2, the e-commerce site that takes care of your check cashing needs and proves additional services including money transfer and utility bill pay. Not only is Challenger 2 a reliable service, but they are efficient. Think of all the time and money you could save by simply utilizing this site. As an e-commerce site, you no longer have to wait on hold for hours. Instead, you are only a few clicks away from solving all of your check cashing, money transfers, and utility bill pay problems. You can learn more about Challenger 2 at kcashing.com. And like I said, the Giants are getting a beat down. Speaking of football, there's been a big issue in a high school in Sayreville, New Jersey that I feel a need to get to really quickly. I'm not going to get into specific details about the situation. I'd rather keep it with positive New York sports, but real quickly, it has to be talked about to some extent. There's this hazing, intimidation, and even reaching to the points of sexual abuse and sexual assault in the locker room at this high school football team. They suspended or they canceled the rest of the the football season for it. And see, the thing here is, and I'm not a lot of what would happen without getting into the specifics is one of the seniors would make the like a howling like a wolf noise of some sort, and then another senior would turn off the lights. They would attack freshmen, in different ways. They would strip them of their clothes and do some things that you can't believe that someone would do and find entertaining. It's something that you would find as a hazing on a football team in a locker room. And as terrible as that is, and you say, who would do that? What kind of person would do something like that? When you hear what some of these kids' parents have had to say about the situation, it's just mind-boggling. And while it's not an excuse for these kids to act this way, certainly not, but you understand to some degree why they do this, because this is what they learn. The mother of the senior captain, Dylan, I don't know how to pronounce it, Delay, I apologize if I didn't pronounce it correctly, but protested. The mother of this captain protested the cancellation of the season, saying how dedicated her son is to football. She says that the football has made him a better person. This is one of the kids that was arrested, and that people are accusing of these crimes. If football made him a better person, and this is part of being a better person, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, she says the punishment does not fit the crime. Yeah, I mean, canceling the football season does not fit the crime. The kids that did this to the freshmen, these kids should be in jail. Forget about the football season. Who cares about football? And she's saying that they should reinstate the football season. I mean, if you get a chance, you should watch the video of the board meeting when these parents are booing the board's decision. They actually are booing the decision to cancel the season. They even at one point laugh when the allegations are being mentioned and described. They actually laughed. These are parents of these high school kids, and they actually laughed. Unbelievable. And so I just want to get to that. I wanted to get to that quickly. Once again, the number to get involved with tonight's program, 631-888-8811 here on Sports Talk 1240. Andrew Joseph with you till 10, so another 5 or 6 minutes here tonight. So the Eagles all over the Giants. The Rangers Leafs game at the Garden has just gone final. The Leafs defeat the Rangers 6-3 to drop the Rangers 1-2 on the season as the Rangers fall in their home opener. As Kevin Deloria of the NYR Block said earlier in the program, that this team's going to be good. He expects this team to be a really good team, just like I do. And it's going to be a little bit of a struggle to start with all these injuries, especially the injury to Derek Stepan and the injury to Dan Boyle doesn't help. And he also mentioned that Matt Zuccarello isn't playing tonight, which I forgot to mention. He took a couple of big hits last night. I expect him to be back shortly. His injury is not long term with the other two. But the Rangers are going to have to keep their heads above water until Stepan comes back and Boyle comes back. And, you know, I think when they do, and as the year progresses, the Rangers will be a really good team. I really do believe that. And we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. For the Giants right now, they trail 20-0. And, 20-0 with 52 seconds to go in, oh, sorry, 32 seconds to go in the opening half. So it'll be really interesting to see if the Giants are able to make a comeback. Are they able to fight back here in the second half and get within this game? We've seen some crazy comebacks this NFL season. Not so much this week, but specifically last week and over the first few weeks of the season. So this game is not over yet, but a really good first half for the Eagles as they have come out with all the trash talk, and they have been the ones to shut the Giants up and not vice versa. We'll see what happens as this game progresses, though. You know, back to the Jets, and Luis was talking about it and how Rex Ryan, it seems right now like he has one foot out the door. And I've been a really pro Rex Ryan guy. When there was about some noise last year that he should be fired, and in the past, and even the beginning of this season, I was pro Rex Ryan. I had his back. But there's one thing I have to say, and you know, the whole idea that, you know, he doesn't know offense, I don't buy into that. I've heard stories of head coaches, really successful Hall of Fame head coaches, that have had success only focusing on one side of the ball, just completely relying on a coordinator or a couple of coordinators or a couple of assistant coaches to take care of what the other side of the ball, whether it's offense or defense. The problem is they have not, Rex has not found the right guy to do that. And the bigger problem here is Rex Ryan is his biggest problem is also his biggest strength. He is loyal. He is supportive. He supports the ownership. He supports his boss, John Idzik, or Tannenbaum when he was the GM. He will never publicly criticize, accuse, and diminish his players. He'll never complain about the lack of talent. He'll always build them up. A player makes a mistake either mentally or physically, he'll build them up. He'll say it's okay in a bad game. Say this guy made this good play. This guy made this good play. He will never publicly criticize and attack his players. And from all indications, he doesn't do it privately very, very often either. It is part of his. It is his biggest strength and his biggest weakness. Rex Ryan is loyal to his players. He is loyal to his bosses. Look, John Idzik left $21 million of cap room. Rex Ryan's defense is based in order for it to be as successful as possible. It needs not only good corners; it needs great corners. It needs a strong secondary, and not only does this team not have a strong secondary, they have probably the worst secondary in the NFL. And despite that, they're able to stay in this game, give up until the pick six, 24 points to Peyton Manning's Denver Broncos offense. You don't think Rex Ryan knew that this secondary didn't have the talent, but what does he do publicly? What does he do? He supports it. He says, I believe in this guy. I believe in Antonio Allen. I believe in Dee Milliner. I believe in... Before Dexter McDougal was injured, I believe in Dexter McDougal. At some point, Rex Ryan has to forget about publicly and telling the media and telling the fans. Especially at some point in the offseason or training camp, early in mini camp or whatever it was, went to John Idzik, knocked on his door, and said, "Look, John, I need some better personnel. This is not going to cut it." And from all indications, Rex Ryan failed to do that. And for that, for his loyalty, they went to two AFC titles with players playing so hard for him. And that same loyalty is what's going to have him fired. Whether he'll get a new job as a head coach next year, I don't know. Maybe he'll be a defensive coordinator. But unless a miraculous turnaround happens, this Jets team is not going to the playoffs, and Rex Ryan will be fired. A few special thank yous go out to Kevin DeLoy of the NYR blog, Luis Torrado from rantsports.com for spending a few minutes with us tonight on Sports Talk 1240. My engineer on the other side of the glass, Brian Graves, as always, pushing all the right buttons. For the director of Sports Talk 1240, Rob Cole, and to you, my listeners, for Andrew Joseph and Sports Talk 1240, have a great night.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.